When Mark Zuckerberg changed the mission of Facebook this summer to be focused on community, he hired Jennifer Delsky to lead groups at the center of their new strategy and used by more than 1 billion people to build meaningful communities around the world. With a career as a tech executive at Yahoo and Google, a startup founder and CEO, and a social change leader as president of Change.org, Delsky is now combining her own experiences with stories of other inspiring leaders to show how we all have the power to start movements that matter. Her new book is Purposeful. She walks through the steps to go from idea to impact and shares tips and stories from real movement starters, from students to retirees whose movements have created everything from new laws to new companies. Again, the name of the book is Purposeful. Are you a manager or a movement starter? That is a question mark. I have lots of questions for our next guest, and we welcome Jennifer Delsky to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on the program. What is it about movements that you think especially now is so important?
Well, movements and communities have been part of the world for thousands of years. What's new is that technology is really empowering people to now share their stories more easily and mobilize people faster than was ever before possible.
So with that, what are the challenges in that, and what are the opportunities in that?
So I've been fortunate in my career, both at Change.org and now at Facebook, to have this front row seat to watching ordinary people who ignite extraordinary change. And one of the things that I've realized is that the steps are really similar, whether it is someone who's trying to change something in their school or their workplace or their neighborhood, or someone who's trying to change a massive law or start a new company that does good in the world. There's really five steps that I outline that all people go through that are similar. The first is about creating a vision, and what I've seen is that people who put stories at the heart of their vision, who talk about why it matters to them, are most successful. The second step is about mobilizing people to support you, and that the people who are most successful there are those who rally those early influencers and who aren't afraid to actually ask for help. The third step is about persuading decision makers, and there the technique that is helpful is really to understand who influences and what influences the people that you're trying to persuade. And the final steps are about navigating criticism and overcoming obstacles, because movements are not an overnight thing. They take patience and determination in order to succeed.
So let's go through those if we can. When it comes to the vision part of all of this and the idea of coming up with stories, it seems like that's simple to do, and yet having a vision and fine-tuning it, I assume, can be easier said than done.
Yes, it's true. I think many of these movements start with stories about someone's individual life based on something that has happened to them. And they can be serious. So I tell a story in Purposeful about a man named Hank Hunt who had a tragic incident happen to him where his daughter was murdered by her estranged husband in a hotel room. And her daughter, Hank's granddaughter, tried to dial 911 and could not get 911 because in the hotel she was required to dial 9 to get an outside line. And so Hank has turned his own personal tragedy into a movement and successfully was able to persuade Congress to pass a law just this January to require businesses to allow 911 without an outside line. So there's stories like that that are really personal and come from a set of, you know, tragic events. And then there are other stories that are more lighthearted that lead to movements as well. And one example I share is a teenager named Megan Grassel who took her younger sister, 13-year-old sister, bra shopping and found that the only bras that were available were these lacy, sexy push-up bras, and she didn't feel like that was appropriate for a young teenage girl. And so Megan, with a lot of help and a lot of determination, started a company called Yellowberry that has turned into a movement that makes age-appropriate bras for teenagers.
When it comes to the mobilization, and as you say, a key to that is rallying and ultimately going to the influence makers, right? Of
yeah.
Actually getting them involved. Is it always obvious who they are?
Not always, and they can look really different depending on your movement. Sometimes I think people think of influencers as celebrities and athletes and so forth, but really they are just the people that matter to your particular movement. So a story I share here is about a young woman named Greta Rose Van Riel. She is sometimes referred to as the Instagram queen because she has something like 16 million followers on Instagram. And when she was in her early 20s, she launched a new product to try to help people stay healthy. It was in a new category she called T-Tox, so like a detox, but just with tea. And when she wanted people to know about it, she reached out to other young women like herself on Instagram, people who had a number of followers, and she just sent them her tea. And she said, here's what I'm doing, you know, try it, and if you like it, post about it. This effort, this approach was so successful that her product, Skinny Me Tea, grew to be $600,000 in sales per month in the first 6 months she launched it.
Wow. And that is, I mean, that's a really quick turnaround. And what should our expectations be when it comes to that of when we should start to see that success?
Yeah, so that timeline may be the exception rather than the norm. Some of these things happen really quickly. So I tell another story about Sarah Kavanaugh, a teenager from Mississippi who was able to persuade Coke and Pepsi to take a harmful ingredient out of their drinks. She did it using a petition and other media, and she accomplished that in only 6 months. But often movements take a long time, and they take determination and persistence and a lot of ups and downs. So a good example here is Sarah Wolf, a young woman with Down syndrome. She was working with the organization that helps people with Down syndrome, and they were trying to fight for something called the ABLE Act, which is a law benefiting people with disabilities. And it took them several years. I believe it took 7 years from the beginning of the effort around the movement to pass the law. And when they passed it nationally, it then required being passed in all the states separately as well. And one of the things they saw was because they were so persistent and patient and thoughtful about the original 7-year process of getting Congress to pass it, they actually passed 48 out of 50 states in less than a year after the initial law passed.
And we have just a moment of time left, but this idea of navigating the criticisms and the obstacles, again, it's hard to know where the slings and arrows are going to come from, isn't it?
That's right. And the more successful you are, the more likely you are to face criticism. And what I advise, based on having interviewed a lot of people and also having done some of this myself, is to bucket the criticism into two categories and to take those people who criticize you for the things you cannot change, like your appearance or your gender, and to set that aside and instead to look at the rest of the feedback that's coming to us. Whether it's in a gentle and friendly form or not, it can have value. And I like to say that even the best athletes in the world have coaches. So if we can see criticism as something we can take and use to our advantage, it can actually be quite helpful for us. And there's a great story in Purposeful about a woman named Mary Lou Jepsen, who started a nonprofit called One Laptop Per Child to make solar-powered, inexpensive laptops for children in the developing world. Many, many people said to her she couldn't do it. And she actually took their feedback. She went to one of the big Asian tech companies. They said there's 23 reasons why this won't work. She took all of those, she solved them, and she used their feedback to make her product better, and now it's in the hands of millions of kids worldwide.
The name of the book is Purposeful. Are you a manager or a movement starter? The book is published by Portfolio. Thank you very much, Jennifer. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.